This is an ABC podcast. Resorts, homes and a newly built hospital have been washed away.
I'm just holding on for dear life here. This isn't fun.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Save what for dream.
You must ready.
Helping your community.
Helping your family.
Helping you.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared. Pacific prepared.
Bulurunaka. I'm Joe, based in Suva, Fiji.
Hi, I'm Fred, based in Australia.
And this is Pacific Prepared.
It's a show all about traditional knowledge, climate change and disasters and how those things are all connected, Joe.
And Fred, yes, each week we work with local reporters across the Pacific who are on the ground, letting us all know what is happening in their space.
On today's show, Joe, we should explain that we are actually currently sitting on what's known as a wooden bus in Samoa at the moment. And we've just taken off from the bus station, or the bus depot, I suppose it is, which is right on by the waterfront in Samoa. It's actually probably about 10 o'clock in the morning at the moment on a Friday morning, so it's very busy.
Very busy.
And we've jumped on the bus just to, I guess, we were trying to think of a really Samoan experience where we could record the show.
Why not?
How are you feeling about this?
It's a great experience altogether. I didn't know it's a wooden bus made out of wooden structures, and they call it here Pasilopapa.
Pasilopapa. Yeah, right.
So I've seen photos, videos on social media about this unique and authentic ride here in Apia, Samoa. But to actually be inside and experience how it operates, it's an achievement. It's an experience that I will never forget.
I don't think we'll top this so far anyway. This probably tops the list in terms of places where we're recording, Joe. So yeah, interesting. Okay, Joe, on today's show, it's a Samoan-focused show again this week.
Yeah.
We've visited villages this week, talking mainly about flooding from nearby rivers into villages.
Yeah. And we will hear from a village elder, and this village is called Lalomaunga. Lalomaunga, who talked about their experience about flooding in recent years and what they did together collectively as a community to mitigate the impacts of flooding in their village. That's all coming up. This is Pacific Prepared.
We need to be prepared for the future.
Helping you stay safe.
We have built a seawall 2 times, but it did no good.
What happens when something goes wrong and how do they respond to it?
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Pacific Prepared.
Pacific Prepared.
Pacific Prepared.
We are actually in the heart of Apia, the capital of Samoa, inside the wooden bus, Pasilopapa. And Fred,
I'm loving this experience. Yeah, it's great.
And we are pleased to be flagged by one of the announcers, the expert here at the 2AP in Samoa. And we will welcome him on the show this week. Talofalava.
Talofalava, Bulavinaka. Hello, everyone. I am Dwayne Tupai, and I'm here just to take a tour with our friends from the Pacific Prepared Program. And we are now here at the heart of Apia and the heart of Samoa. It is our town, our city. Now we are in the clock tower here in Apia, just to explore, just to give insight of our friends here from the APC and also Pacific Prepared, the traditional way and also how transportation and the movement from place to place and the real life of Samoa with Pasilopapa.
It's incredible, Dwayne. I think you actually mentioned to us yesterday that one of the things about these buses that's quite unique is that when you get on, sometimes you might not be sitting alone on the seat. Is that right?
Yes. Well, that's basically here in Samoa. When the bus is full, you might hop on and then you can't find a seat, but there will be some youth members or a young age adult, and just ask them, can I sit on your laps? And that's basically the Samoan way.
So that's normal.
That's normal here in Samoa. Well, it's part of an experience, and also
it's being considerate, right?
Yeah.
So, and they can stand along the passage.
Well, there are some will be standing on the bus, and also others will be sitting on the on others' laps. Yeah. So basically, that's Samoa.
Excellent. I feel like this bus is a bit of a metaphor for our show today, Joe. We're gonna drive the bus through the show, essentially.
Yes.
Maybe a couple of stops on the way as well.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Well, maybe we should.
Fred, Dwayne, and one of our good friends here at 2AP visited a community earlier this week. When we were in Samoa.
Yes.
So, what was the experience like when you guys went for you? Coming from outside, setting foot on this traditional setting, what was your first impression? So Dwayne is telling the driver to make the trip a little bit longer?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're getting to another bus station and another bus stop. So probably if you can't find a bus here, well, there's another bus stop. You can catch another bus there.
Okay, right. Yeah. Gotcha.
All right, yeah.
So we visited a village called Moa Moa, is that right, Dwayne?
Yes,
And the story basically was that the village, some of the community members live very close to a river, and the river floods their community from time to time, correct?
Yes. Those from that community, the interviewee that we interviewed, one of the ladies there, it's wife of a deacon at the Catholic Church at Moa Moa. They are so vulnerable during time of flooding, and they are seeking help from the government and also outside for grants and other developed countries just for us and just for them, and also build some high sea walls just for them during the time of bad weather and flooding, and also it's not even safe for them.
Yeah.
So they need to hear this story. Yeah. Their story must be heard. Yes.
Yeah, it felt like it was a slightly emotional story as well when we were there too. So,
and I was quite impressed, friend, that the lady who represented the community, speaking on behalf of the community when the team interviewed her. So let's take a listen.
So here Sewa, Sawainga is showing how the floods might occur during heavy rains, and now I'm walking through the river valley, and with one of the family members here been affecting by the river according to and when the flood has been occurring during the times. And also we are now been recorded here, one of the affected families, and I've been so heartfelted of the scenery and also the place and the setting of one of the Tina's family, and also the family's been affecting during the time.
Yeah, Chalo Falava, we are here with Tina. Tupe Sawainga. She is a widow now, and she used to be a pastor's wife for the Catholic Church here in Samoa, and she has spent more than 30 years serving Christ through the Catholic Church here, not only in Moa Moa, but the whole of Samoa.
Thank
you. So we just asked Tina here on her views on what does she know about climate change and how it affects their families here. And she just told Pacific Prepared today that in the last 15 years, they moved from Tofusi, where they used to live, and they moved here with the expectation of finding another safer place for them, because in town, it's a low-lying area. and much of the water that travels, that flows from here, will affect most of the families living in coastal areas, including Tofusi, where they used to live before. And the first time they moved here, that was the year they first experienced this river breast its banks. And it wasn't a it was not good for them, as it affected them at different levels. As a mother, she couldn't bear looking at parts of the plantations being washed away by water. Their house was also affected, and every time they see that it is cloudy, then they expect torrential rain, and it comes with feeling so panic. You know, every time they experience rainfall, they're very, very panicked because they expect the river to burst its banks again. And once that happens, then all of this land is covered with water. And it not only her family that has discovers this, but all of these families around this area, once the river is flooded, much of the vegetation is covered with water. And it saddens her to realize that this river and the flooding also associates with social impacts, as well as health issues such as diseases that can be caused by this flooding. And she and the rest of the family, as well as the rest of the families here in Muamua, they requested the government for a way to re-divert the flow of this river. And then, as you can see, there's been some of the work done by the government, but she still feels like it is never enough to cope with the impact of flooding and climate change here in her area.
According to the mother and also to the wife of a deacon, when the river is flooding, it might affect all of the families been sitting and been held, and also been affecting the areas here in Muamua. And it all starts up from the mountains rushing down. There will be big trunk of trees, and also large wood will be affecting, and also will be blocking the river flows. And then by the time the big trees and also the wood will be blocking, and also the bridge, the river might overflow up to the landscape and been affecting and go inside the house of the family, and also been affecting, and they will be evacuated during the time of heavy rains and floods. So that's according to Tupe Sewaina.
Asking on what her family has been preparing for all these years so that they are safe during future tropical cyclones and more floodings in the future, she just explained that the very first time they experienced the flooding here, they had to relocate. They had to evacuate immediately, and they moved their cars, they moved their families, they had to move to higher lands so that they could find a safer place for the children. It was heartbreaking seeing her children at the time, you know, running away, trying to find shelter when the water was flowing very strong. And since that time, they have learned to come up with other ways. One of the things she remembers from that very first time is that one of the villagers almost lost his life here. And so after that occurrence, they consulted with her families on how to build their houses so that they are safe. But she still believes there's more to be done. There's more to be done in terms of awareness, understanding about the safe zones that they can relocate to during flooding, and what more ways that could be done so that her family, especially now that she's the head of the family, she really encourages her children to come up with innovative ways so that they are safe if another tropical cyclone or if another flooding will occur in the very near future.
That was one of the community members from Moa Moa Village, about 20 minutes out of Apia in Samoa, talking to us about the coastal flooding, or not coastal flooding, the flooding from the river that's near their community that they're experiencing.
I'm just holding on for dear life here.
For women, it's always safety first. They are the first responder.
You're listening to Pacific Prepared.
We travelled about an hour yesterday, Joe, to get to a village called Lolomonga, I believe it's called, or pronounced. Yeah. I think I've got that right. where, when we arrived, we saw quite a large river, and you had to drive over a ford, I think it's called, which is basically a trickle of water going across the road. But there, when it rains, that trickle is an absolute torrent. Like, the water absolutely floods down there.
Yeah. Absolutely, and that is something that the villages at Lolomonga have been, you know, they have adapted to it. Even though they are susceptible to flooding in times of heavy rain, but they don't want to leave, they don't want to move. And what they did, you'll hear this more in the interview, how they make use of the resources they have to ensure that they are protected should there be any flooding in the future.
Yeah. All right, well, let's take a listen, Joe.
So right now we are walking towards where the floods usually start from, and according to Malubo, one of the villages here in Lolomonga, the place and the setting of the village is basically under a mountain. So basically that's the English word of Lolomonga, which means under the mountain. Well, the first question that we were asked to the members of the villages here at Lolomonga is, there are any understanding of the people and also the dangers and the weather condition, and there are any plans and their understanding about climate change? And according to the villages here, their property and their household, there are much more safety here. But further at the end of the river, and also the end of the starting point from the villages, those are the most affected families and also the affected villages, according when the time of heavy rains and also the time of bad weather during at the time. At the beginning of this year, it was a hard time for them at the time of flooding, and also they are now makeup measurement, and also for the protection of the children, because not just far from where our interview has been conducting is the school, and also the protection for the children and also the small children for their protection during this time. And they are right now, they're also crying out for some grants to venerate and also to build higher sea walls for their protection, not for them, and also at the far end of the waters during flood times.
So no yellow fungal for Mulmule, Ola Tonwale, Tami Mulmule, Lang at Tambaye, Ile, Pau, the violin, to a few unga for Mulmule.
Only half table for seed, no too long.
So the question that asked by Matawaina is, what during the time, currently the time that, and basically what time the river overflows. But according to the villagers, it was the starting of this year. There was a huge heavy rains, and also the time of bad weather, and also during the time of cyclone season. That is basically the time the river overflows, and also a flooding time. And there also a bridge, crossing bridge for the villagers, for them during the time of flooding, so they can easily access the other side of the river when the time of flooding. And I'm walking towards the bridge as a big guy walking toward the bridge. The bridge is made up of cables, huge cables, and I am so scared. As I said before, the bridge is not so stable, and right now I'm in the middle of the bridge, so basically the bridge is not even safety for transportation. It's basically just for walking during the time of flood.
I have a little of your water penanga if I to Tangata Fulia. Jamie to two boy if I love Lavia pay only Palavai. Ofeanga ye ear, a inga ye no fulata latamale. I do by.
Well, according to Matawaina, the question being asked, are there any safety place and or any evacuation place for the villagers? And according to the villagers, they said when the time of flooding and bad weather, they will be evacuated to a higher ground. So then for the safety of them and also for the safety of the children. And basically when the time of flooding and bad weather, they are most common evacuation plan is for higher grounds. So the question was asked, is there any construction cater for renovation and also for the monitoring of the seawall? But according to the villagers, Apialua construction was their main priority, is to renovate and also to monitor during bad weather and also the time after the flooding. So basically, at this time, there's a huge damage with the seawall, and they are seeking help and also seeking monitoring and renovation for Apialua, but they are not even responding for their proposal being asked. And also from Apialua, they don't even have any contact from them. Well, according to the villagers, they said back in the days, the river was so dangerous for them. And also, before the time, there was no seawall. It was so hard for them to evacuate and also for them to visit other places. But thankful to this initiative and also thankful to the government of Samoa for managing to build a seawall for them. And also, well, for them, this seawall is much more helpful for them. And also, it's for the safety and also with the health, not from now, but and also within the near future, because they are looking forward for another renovation of the seawall for the protection during hard times.
And that was one of the village elders, Lalo Maunga village elders, who spoke with us. Very informative. We can actually feel, the reality that they are going through, especially during times of heavy rain, when the village is, as I've mentioned in the beginning, that it's prone or susceptible to flooding, Doyen.
Well, the villages, according to the villages, those are their land. Their land is more precious to them. And also, when time of flooding and time of bad weather, they'll probably evacuate to a safer place. after the flood, they will get back to the place because their land is their history, it's their heritage, and also it's their identity, how they lived, and also their forefathers was make that land for them. So it's so hard for them, even though with bad times and bad weather, even the issue of climate change, they the Samoans don't even care about that. The land is the most precious thing for them.
Yeah, it was a really interesting place to visit yesterday, and to see the way that the river banks had been built up by, I guess,
I loved it.
The government, yeah, or whoever it was. It was incredible, incredibly high. So it was incredible to imagine the water coming over the edge of that. Just an amazing amount of water.
Yeah, and the community setting, and the community is very neat. How they organized the buildings and even the houses. We can tell that, you know, it can withstand the severity of tropical cyclone as well.
Yeah.
The building structures and the building codes. So that was Lalomaunga.
The time to prepare is now, not right before an emergency.
No electricity, nothing whatsoever. You are listening to Pacific Prepared.
Coming to an end of another episode of Pacific Prepared from Apia, Samoa.
And Joe, like I mentioned before, the bus ride has been a metaphor because now we're back at the start again. We're at the stop. We have to get off the bus.
You know, there's a song that we usually sing when I was still in preschool back in the village in Fiji. Round and round the village. So it's like making one round. Well, we actually had a 2 seconds or 5 seconds stop at the second bus station, and then we came back to our original spot where we boarded this wooden bus. What's it called, Dwayne?
Pasilaupapa.
Well, Dwayne, thank you so much, Fafetai, for coming on board and be part of our chit-chat this week on Pacific Prepared.
Well, thank you too as well for your team, Fred, and also you, my friend Josiah, and also Lachlan. And it was a great experience working with you guys through all this 1 week. And I've learned a lot, and it's a great experience. And also capturing and tackling this issue that affecting the Pacific, climate change. Thank you so much.
It's our pleasure. Fafetai lava.
Fafetai, well, Dwayne. And also, I should say as well, Fafetai to 2IP for hosting us this week as
absolutely.
Well, Joe, which has been great. So, really appreciate that.
Yes. Well, Fred, I'll sign off now as well. I'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah.
And to you, our listeners, thank you so much for choosing Pacific Prepared. Until next week, more than Manda, goodbye.
Manaka, Joe.
Pacific Prepared.
Pacific Prepared is supported with funding from the Australian Government's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Any views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the Australian Government. It's produced and distributed in partnership with Radio Australia and networks across the Pacific, including Radio New Zealand Pacific, National Broadcasting Corporation of Papua New Guinea, Palau Wave Radio, Fijian Broadcasting Corporation, Samoa National Radio 2AP, Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, and Tonga Broadcasting Commission. My name's Fred Hooper, and thanks to my co-host in Fiji, Josiah Nanunga. Please share any information you've learned today, and stay safe. This has been Pacific Prepared.
In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favourite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.